Well, good evening. It's good to see you all. It was hot out there today, wasn't it?
It was in the 90s. Now, how many of you like the heat? Raise your hand if you love heat. Yeah, a few of you. How many of you love the cool, wintry days? You know what I figured out? Winter people are usually night people. Am I right? No? Okay, one person thinks I've failed. That's okay. I'm used to it. Yeah. In general, though, you think I'm mostly right here? I don't know. I like the heat, though. I think this is great. I'll take the heat anytime. But this has been great. It won't last, though. Don't worry, guys. It won't last. We've been looking in the book of Psalms. Our summer is winding down, and there's a lot of Psalms I haven't covered yet. I'm realizing this is a much bigger task. There's quite a few of them, but I think if you see the pattern in them, it repeats itself. You can learn as you look at them. We're looking at Psalm 27. This is our third week of Psalm 27. I feel like there's a lot of content in Psalm 27. We'll look at the very end of it, the latter half of Psalm 27. All right, here's my trivia question for you. Maybe trivia question. I don't know what to call it. What do these people all have in common? Abraham, David, Joseph, and Moses. Yes. What is it? Sin? Okay, that's true. They all sinned. You got me on that. That wasn't where I was going, but I'll give you half a point. What else? Somebody else guess. Someone do a more specific one. That's true of a lot of people. Yeah, you got me. He knows it. What else would you say about these? I'll try this list again. Abraham, David, Joseph, and Moses. When did their success come in life? Let me ask you, that's probably a better question. Yes? I wasn't going to go there, but that works totally. Yes. Yeah. No, that was fantastic what you said there. And I'll combine that with what you said about some of their biggest moments were at the end of their lives. I know David had a big moment with the Goliath at the beginning. But as far as sustained success, it took him a long time. You think about someone else? Yes. Okay, now you're getting ahead of me in the lesson. That's not till point number 3. So we're going to pretend like you didn't hear what she just said. Erase that. When I say it, be like, ooh, that was good. When she says it, be like, too soon. Yes, okay, that's where we're headed, but you jump ahead of me. Abraham. Abraham was originally called Abram, and a lot of times scriptural names will indicate what the person's position is or their mission or who they are. And I asked my teacher years ago, my Hebrew teacher, I said, these names, did the author give them the name? Was that really their name? Did people really call Nabal to his face? And my wise teacher said, I don't know. So, but anyway, Abram's name, the names are significant in your scripture. However they got the name, there's a lot of significance to them. But Abraham's name was Abram, which means father of heights. Okay? He was the big daddy. That's what they, imagine that when he's a little boy. Come here, big daddy. Just as a little guy running around. He knew from an early age his mission was to be a father. That was what he was supposed to do. Okay? The Lord finally comes to him. He's almost, what, 90? And says, you will have the son. He's like, that's great. Doesn't happen for a long time. Tries his own methods, whatever else. Eventually, through faith, when he's 100, he has this son. Just think about this. His life mission was to have the chosen son, and it took him 100 years to get there. 100 years. Wow. If I have to wait 1 minute at the bank, I'm just like, I'm going to have a meltdown here. I wonder if I can text message someone on my cell phone or something and do two things at multitask here. He had to be patient. I think about David, okay? He has the success. He's anointed. He spends time in the palace. He's learning. He's growing. And then the day comes when he's it. And the problem is that Saul wasn't really going to go along with that, so he chases him. And we don't know how long he ran. Perhaps 7, 8 years he ran? That's some estimates. He's supposed to be the king, and the guy that shouldn't be the king is trying to kill him. Kind of an awkward situation, right? And then he does become king, but it's only Hebron, only part of Israel, not all of it. They don't all want him. So for 7 years, he's the king of part of Israel. A little frustrating, you think? I mean, this is a big portion of his life that's just going nowhere, it would seem. We think about Joseph, and Joseph is all over the place, right? Something good happens, something bad happens. Someone has compared the arc of the storyline of his life to like a bobber in the ocean, up and down, right? It just seems like he's faithful, doing what his dad asked him to do. I think he's a little snotty, though, in my opinion. He does have the shiny coat he's very proud of, and the brothers are like, you're annoying us. But he pops up and tells them what they're doing wrong. He doesn't have very great people skills at this point. And what happens? He's sold into slavery. Okay? This is the bottom part. Then he rises up. You know, he's faithful. They're like, this guy is a very good slave. Before long, he's the head of all the slaves. Like, this guy's the go-to. And what happens? He's faithful. He's doing the right thing, and so he's lied about. If he'd done the wrong thing, he'd have been fine. So, like, this isn't working. He's in prison. He's forgotten in prison. He's faithful once again. And the next thing you know, he's a leader in Egypt. The next thing you know, his brothers are bowing down to him. But how many years did that take for him to get where he's going? And just imagine the young Joseph with the shiny coat that can't wait to tell everyone what they're doing wrong. Imagine him as the head of Egypt. That would have been a disaster, right? He had to do all the stuff in between to grow. So this is Moses. So all these people I've mentioned are people that had to be patient. They all went through difficulty. They all went through trial. They all went through struggle. And yet they were patient. Patience is not easy. Nobody likes patience, right? And yet, a lot of times the Lord will bring stuff into our life, hardship, difficulty, and he tells us we have to wait. And we don't like to wait. You know what we do? When we have to wait, we do one of two things. Either we, A, take a nap, which is not waiting. You know? Oh, I can't do what God wants me to do? Okay, I quit. No. Waiting is not napping. Okay, these people are all active. Before God worked, they didn't stop being faithful before God would deliver him. Oh, well, if God will come deliver me from prison, then I'll start serving him. But in the meantime, I'm in prison. There's no point, right? He could have given up. People like Joseph could have given up. But no, they're patient, okay? There's David. Here he is. He's still leading. He's still trying not to hurt his people. And he's patient, even though his life is in danger. And he's waiting, okay? So sometimes when we wait, it's a matter of being patient and being faithful for what the Lord has. Being faithful is also not fleeing from what the Lord has. It gets difficult. It gets hard. I'm out of here. Did you know what this is a little bit of trivia here. Do you know how long the average youth pastor lasts? 24 years, that could be high. There it is. 18 months. Did you know that? Yeah. By the way, do you know what the Spanish word for youth pastor is? It's piñata, in case you don't know. Yeah, but you know, there's many positions that require patience and faithfulness, and it's easy for people under stress to be like, I give up, and they miss the blessing of the Lord using them and what God can use them for. A lot of pastors, the average pastor lasts, 3 to 4 years, something like this, because it requires patience and faithfulness. People are under stress. They want to quit. And you know, I don't have to tell you this. You know this in your own heart. Running is easy to do. Being faithful is hard. So we're in Psalm 27. In your pew Bible, that's page 838, Psalm 27. I'm going to pray here, and then we'll look at the scriptures, and we'll see what God has to say us about faithfulness and patience. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for bringing us here. I pray as we look at your word, it would speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to be faithful and to trust you when you bring hardship into our lives that we don't understand. And we thank you for this day. In Christ's name, amen. Psalm 27. So we looked at the first part of it, and we said that verses 1 through 6, we said David is scared, right? He has all these fears, and he asked God to help him. In verses 7 through 10, we said he's stuck. He can't get out. God's not delivering him. He doesn't know what to do. So now we'll look at the last part, verses 11 through 14, and that's we'll see that David is steadfast. He's not going to run away. Verse 11, Psalm 27, verse 11, it reads, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So here he is talking about being faithful. Verse 11. Let's read this verse. He says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies." The word there, plain, can also be translated smooth. And the idea is, here is his enemies nearby him, and he's going to make decisions that are very, very important, and they're watching over him. And one misstep is going to cause problems. And so he feels like he's got to be very careful what he does. And so he's going to ask the Lord for help. "Lord, help me. Help me to make a wise choice. Help me to know what to do. Give me wisdom for the decision that I make." Because people are watching. You ever felt like someone was watching you at work and you're not quite sure how you measured up to what they expected? And you're like, "I hope I don't do the wrong thing here." This is the way David felt. He felt like his every move is being watched, okay? And so he's going to ask the Lord to help him as he walks this tightrope of making decisions. We need the Lord's help so often. When we're in a tight spot, David's in a tight spot here. He's in a spot of difficulty. Now, the scripture never says what this tight spot is. We don't know exactly what the problem he faced was. Sometimes it'll hint at something in some of the Psalms. In this one, we don't know exactly what it is. But you know what? I'm glad I don't know, though, because this is the Christian experience. We all have those difficult places. God puts us in stressful spots that we can't just snap our finger and get out of, or the Lord puts you somewhere and you just can't work harder or stay up later or get up sooner or travel somewhere or pay more money. Sometimes God puts you in spots where there's nowhere you can wiggle, and then there's nowhere out but to trust him. And this is exactly what he wants you to do. And so here David is in this spot. We don't know what it is, but we all know the experience. And he knows that his every move is important. And so he asks the Lord to help him and to show him the right path. "Show me how to act. Teach me your ways. I don't know what to do. You show me what I need to do. You show me where I need to go. I come to you not knowing the answers. I'm here to learn. I'm here to listen." And so this is David's response. He's going to steadfastly follow the Lord and what the Lord has for him. Verse 12. He says, "Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty." Deliver me. David recognizes that his future is ultimately in the hand of the Lord, and God controls it. I think we spend way too much time thinking that we can fix our own problems. We can fix our own problems if we just try hard enough, if we just do enough. We can make it happen. We can make it work. When a lot of times it's the Lord that is in control. And the Lord is the one that makes things work, not us. This is why it's so important that we're faithful to the Lord, is because he brings us success. It doesn't matter what area of your life. If it's relationships, if it's business, if it's, you know, health, other things. The Lord is the one that is going to decide what happens to us. Now, he may use other means. He may use hard work. He may use doctors. He may use his bosses. He may use a book. He may use all kinds of sources. But ultimately, we look to him, not to a human implement. My hope is not in this person or that person or other person. My hope is the Lord. And so pleasing the Lord is my most important thing. And so he goes directly to the Lord. "Lord, you have to deliver me from these people. They are here. They're going to spread false things about me. And ultimately, they're cruel. The people I'm opposed to me are, frankly, evil. And it's up to you to create justice and fairness." And so here he is looking to the Lord for fairness. Verse 13, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." He's ready to lose heart. We talked about David, what a great leader he was. And I would love to have the guts that David had and the boldness and the ability to fight and to be courageous the way he was courageous. I don't have anywhere near this amount of courageousness, okay? I'm afraid of little things, and here he is facing giants, even in his old age, like it's nothing to him. And it's okay. He knows the Lord will help him. And so he's someone that has to face his fears. And yet, even the greatness of David has days when he is just, he's cowering in fear and quivering. And here he is afraid, and he said he's ready to faint. He's ready to lose heart. He's ready to give up on living the Christian life, and he feels overwhelmed. He realizes he can't do it, and he has days of discouragement. I'm glad he does, because I do too. I have those days too, where I'm ready to just give up, pack it in. I can't do it. I will tell you, honestly, usually most Mondays I'm usually depressed most of the day. I try to smile, but it's like, I'm depressed today. You know, it's been this way most of my life. I'm not sure what it is. I think I'm so excited about Sunday. I usually anticipate Sunday. I can't usually sleep Saturday night because I think Sunday's coming. I don't want to miss something. I don't know how sleeping Saturday night would make me miss Sunday. I have an alarm. I have kids. I'm going to wake up either way. But usually I get up early in the morning, and I'm not sure even what I do. I probably just annoy my wife. I get up early. I'm going to get ready. I'm so excited. I get through Sunday. I get home, and I'm just like wound up tight, right? Then it's great. It's wonderful. Sunday is such a wonderful day. Then Monday hits, and I'm just like, I hit rock bottom again, right? I'm like, why? Why? Why am I here? Why do I do anything? Yeah, it's terrible. But we all have those areas. Now I've been honest about mine. But usually Monday, I don't get a lot of work done. People know this about me. You give me a project Monday, nothing's going to happen. I'll just smile, write it down. Tuesday, though, I'll get after it Tuesday. Usually by Tuesday, I'm ready for this, and I'm excited, and I'm just going to I have a big list, and I knock out projects, and I'm ready to go, and I'm excited, and I'm making phone calls, and it's good again. It's all wonderful. Life is great. But everyone has those times and those days when they are down and discouraged, okay? We are weak, and we are frail, and we are human. We are fragile, and that's what being a person is. You're going to have those times when you can lose hope and get discouraged. But this is not going to dictate what I do and who I am as a person. The Lord can help me. And I don't have to be discouraged all the time, okay? You're going to have difficulties and trials, but this is normal. And the Lord can help you deal with those times, because no matter what you do, you have days when you're tired. I had days when I was tired, and I worked at Walmart. It was the same thing, right? That's life. Life is tiring. You're going to have good days and bad days. But I choose not to be discouraged. Here he is in verse 13. He's ready to lose heart. But then it's like he's in this darkness and this fog of discouragement, and then here glimmers this light, and the light is that the goodness of the Lord shines in. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's like I want to give up, I want to be discouraged, but yet I know that God is good, and this isn't going to define me and what I'm doing. I refuse to give in to days of discouragement and days of tiredness, and various people have various struggles as far as staying motivated, staying positive. And some people truly do struggle with their mood and their health, this kind of thing. But even in those times of discouragement, the thought of the Lord being there can be our encouragement. And the fact that the Lord can change things and the Lord is working. And we have to get past the fact of how tired I am, or how good or bad I think I'm doing, or how much money I do or don't have, or how successful I am, whatever, your job situation, home, all of those things. But you got to get past that and realize, you know what? The Lord is good. Whether I see everything that I want to happen happening or not, God is still in control. There's a plan behind this, and God is still good. And so here David is. He will not faint. He will not give up because he knows that God is ultimately good. That's what we need to be. We need to make this decision. I'm not going to tie my feelings to the circumstance of right now. Because you'll have good days and you'll have bad days. It's okay. The Lord's in control of both of them. We need to put our trust in him. So here he concludes with verse 14. He says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He starts with wait on the Lord. Here he has a list of four commands. It's almost just one after another, short command, shotgunned at you. You know, this, then this, then this, then this. Here we go. It's just wait on the Lord. Be patient in times of discouragement, in times of fear, in times of trial. Be patient with the Lord. Give God time to work. Don't run. Don't hide. It's easy to run and to hide. It's easy to leave a problem behind. Make sure if you make a major life choice to withdraw from something, make sure the Lord's in it. Don't just withdraw because it's too hard, or I'm tired, or it's difficult. The Christian life is always hard, and you'll always be tired, and it'll always be difficult. If Christ had withdrawn from everything hard, tiring, or difficult, he would have never come to the earth. He would have never died on the cross for us. If he's truly our example, we don't need to run from what's hard. Because you know what? The Lord can help you when you're tired. The Lord can help you when things are difficult. And the Lord rewards us. And how many times is it when you do something that you think, I can't do this one more time, and you do it, and then the Lord blesses, and you're like, oh, yes, this was so worth it. I'm glad I did this. It was hard, but I'm so thankful I talked to that person, or I dealt with that circumstance, or whatever else. This is oftentimes the Lord waits and to test us, and when we're really sincere, he says, okay, this person means that I can bless them. It's important that we're patient, that we're not running. The Bible says a faithful man will abound with blessing. If you want to have God's blessing, you've got to demonstrate that you're a person of faith and you don't quit. He says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Be courageous. Now, we're supposed to wait. What if it's something that's scary? Do I still have to wait? Yes, you have to wait, but you have to wait with courage. I'm going to trust the Lord. Something is looming in front of me and I'm frightened by it. I have to have courage to face this. Did David have courage? Do we know that if David had courage? Yes. He had lots of courage. And there's times when I bet he didn't think he would make it. Think he's a man of war. He's a soldier. Lots of times he's waiting. He doesn't know what the battle's going to be. This could be his life in danger. He doesn't know. He has to have courage. He faced military danger. But how often do we have to have courage? There's things happening in our life, and we don't know what's going to happen, and the possibilities are very frightening. We don't know. We think about someone that's sick. What's going to happen? What will I do? How will God help me if things go wrong? Will he help me? Will help get here in time? There's many times in life when life is scary, and we don't know what the outcome is. Maybe it's financial pressure. There's all kinds of pressures where it's like the Lord has you and you feel stuck. You're not sure what's going to happen, and being patient is difficult because you're afraid. Well, let me tell you from someone who faced their fears, the psalmist David. Be courageous. God can help you to be courageous. Now, this may be very hard for you to be courageous, and maybe this is something that's overwhelming for you. You know, maybe you're not a bold person. Maybe you're just kind of a quiet person, okay? And maybe there's a conflict, and you just wilt under conflict, and you don't deal with pressure like this. What are you going to do? He says, to wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he reminds you, and he shall strengthen thine heart. The Lord can strengthen your heart. The Lord can give you the courage, okay? The Lord can help you. The Lord has to make it work. We can't make things work. God will put us in circumstances a lot of times that are bigger than us. You know, some people say God will never give you something that's too big for you to handle. And I think that's not really true. I think God does give us things that are bigger than us. I think he gives us things that are bigger than us, but never bigger than him, so that we'll rely on him. And the Lord can strengthen our hearts so that we can face those difficulties and not run and not hide, but be steadfast in what we do. Be courageous. Let the Lord help you. And the Lord can help you. The Lord can do marvelous things. The Lord can help you to do things you never thought possible. If you're someone that's in the Scripture and in prayer and you're growing spiritually, there's going to be new challenges along the way in your life. And you're going to step up and do things eventually and grow. This is what I hope for our youth group. Like our ministry Sundays, I want them to grow and to face things that maybe are a little scary to them, but realize they can do it. And you know what? Whenever they do, when it's all over, they're always so excited. They're like, look what I did. Look what the Lord helped me do. And look what a blessing that was. And it's like they're surprised. They think they're going to fail and people aren't going to like it. But when you step out, the Lord rewards that faith, doesn't he? And God can help you to do it, and God can bring you great victory. All right, how does he end this psalm? He says, wait, I say, on the Lord. Didn't he just say this already? Anyone besides me notice this is repetitious? David, you already said that. Why are you saying this twice? He's emphasizing it, right? Human nature, we want to run. It's hard? Oh, it's a hard thing? Okay, I'm out of here. I don't do hard things. I don't do scary things. And I'd rather walk away from that. I can't wait. It's just too much for me. No. If the Lord's going to deliver you and the Lord's going to help you with your problems, you have to wait patiently on the Lord, looking to him and trusting him. And so he reminds us once again, wait. Wait on the Lord. Be patient. Let him deliver you. Let's be patient. Let's be triumphant. God can help you in times of difficulty. God can help you when things are scary. The Lord is there for you when you feel stuck. Let's be steadfast. Let's pray.